Morning on I-10 going east, you'll see backup starting at Cassett. It remains busy all the way down to Stockton this morning. 295, 95 in Butler Boulevard. No problems there. Partly cloudy with a slight chance of rain today, a high of 92. Partly cloudy this evening with a low of 77. Right now, it is 77 here at WBOB. And here are the top stories we're bringing you this morning. The NFL preseason kicked off last night, but the NFL says its new policy on punishing players that take a knee during the national anthem will remain on hold. Florida Democrats had their debate last night at Jacksonville University, claiming that Florida is on the wrong track. And with students ready to go back to school, some school districts are advocating shortening the school week to 4 days.
Contact the Ed Dean Show on AM 600 and 101.1 FM by calling 222-TALK or 222-8255 or email ed@wbob.com.
703, Ed Dean here along with Roger Henderson on Talk Radio WBOB. We're going to get to your calls in just a brief moment. 222-TALK, 222-8255. Last night's debate at Jacksonville University, we were there to cover it. News 4 Jax, WJXT, our good friend, the big news anchor there, Ken Justice, did a real, probably one of the best I've seen. And I set the bar up pretty high. Yeah. I am the bar. But that's the bar, not a drinking bar for some of you out there listening. Now, the bar is where you set the standards. Did a real good job asking the questions. I think we're going to get it out of Kent later today. I think he does. We know he listens to the show because he comes on the show. I think he dug all the questions. He goes, okay, I'm going to listen to Ed and Roger. I need to write it down this way or whatever. But anyway, more you than me, Roger. But anyway,
right.
So he did a bang-up job asking the questions. I want to get to the education part real quick. They are not a fan of charter schools. Former Miami Beach mayor, very liberal, Phil Levine, says, well, hey, we need to fund more public schools. We need to defund charter schools. I kind of have an interesting question because when you listen to the Democrats, they think there ought to be a choice, believe it or not, more of a government solution to choice when it comes to health care. But I want to play this clip and ask the education question next.
About my health care plan, because that's really important. As you said, health care, $37.1 billion is our health care budget in Florida. We can reduce our costs by taking Medicaid expansion. We can reduce our costs by doing what I call a public option, which will allow any Floridian to buy into the same type of health insurance that our legislators get. We can reduce our costs by having a reinsurance market.
Okay. She keeps uses the word choice. You heard that, right? You saw the debate last night, Roger.
Yes.
My question is, well, if we want choice, women's choice, we want choice of what server you want to use or what group, whether it's Twitter or Facebook.
Or Android.
Anything. Why can't we have choice when it comes to education? I mean, charter schools are still regulated by government.
Right.
It's just kind of more the less of some of the regulations. And why, if all of these schools have such at Clay County and Duval and Orlando and Vero Beach and Brevard, and I believe a lot of school districts are, you know, if these schools are all grade A rated, then why is there such a backup when it comes to the lottery system for charter schools?
Yeah.
If these public schools are so good, why is there such a backup for charter schools?
That's a very good question. I believe, to be frank with you, to answer the original question, is that the teachers' unions, they don't want the competition.
Exactly. Exactamundo. Let's go to Keith. Hey, Keith, good morning. You're on WBOB.
Morning, Ed. Yeah, the school shooting that gentleman talked about, actually it was a school event. It was in Titusville at a place called Isaac Campbell Park. So the concealed carry guy was not breaking any laws because he wasn't actually at a school. Hold on
real quick. Keith, do you know that the Democrats claim, like Andrew Gilliam, and I'm going to give you plenty of time. Keith said something, it was at a park. I know Titusville very well. I know where that park is at. Where some cities, Keith, where you can't even have a concealed weapons permit in a park. The Democrats fought that.
I understand that, yes. But the attorney or the prosecutor said that they wouldn't file charges against the man because he wasn't breaking any laws.
Good. I didn't mean to interrupt, Keith. I'm glad you pointed that out. Thank you.
I could see where if we shift to a four-day school week, that there might be some cost savings somewhere. They won't have to run the buses. Even if they extend the hours, they won't have to run the buses the extra day. They could cut off the air conditioning for Friday and Saturday and Sunday so they could save some on the electric bill. But for years, the teachers' union has demanded that they need more time to educate their children. So I don't see how that works together.
Yeah, I'm kind of curious. I haven't seen, when I read the report, again, for those of you just tuning in, that there is a there's been some studies, some reports this past week as school, you know, in many districts kick in next week. Teachers already are back to school, about maybe we should lessen the school work week from 5 days to 4 days. The National Conference of State Legislatures talks about the pros and cons of this story. And some say, okay, there's a minimal cost. Some would sit back and say, well, who's going to babysit the kids on a Friday? Some of the school districts have said if we go Monday through Thursday, Tuesday through Friday, Keith, that some of the school districts have offered to help take care of some of the costs there. So I don't know if it averages out. I don't know, Keith. I'm sure I can read about it. Have you seen anything from the unions on this issue?
No, I have not. But like I said, for years the unions have been trying to go for the full school year because they, quote, need more time to teach the children. So I don't know how, you know, cutting the work week like that could help with the education, you know.
Yeah.
They're not gonna get more hours, you know, even if they extend the school day. And many of studies have shown that, you know, after so long, you burn out, so you don't learn anymore.
Right.
So I don't see where that would really help the children.
Good to talk to you this morning. Here's a question. You know that the teachers are on a contract. Now, this is not a put down when I say this. Some of you will take it this way. It's not. Remember, teachers get paid for the full year, but yet they can take a couple months off from the school.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's fine. Some of you have emailed me, oh, man, the teachers are making out like bandits. Here's the question. Do the teachers still have to show up on a Friday to work, or do they get off? And if they get off, why would the unions be against it? I mean, but you're still getting paid. So I don't know.
They may justify that by saying the teachers have to do a lot of work on their own free time.
And they do. And
like
they
grading
do.
Papers at home at night, and that would, you know, offset
right.
any time.
Want to know what you think. Should we shorten the school school days, from 5 days to four? Is there an advantage or is there a disadvantage? Love to hear from you. What do you think about this issue? At 222-TALK, 904-222-8255. David, good morning. You're on WBOB.
Good morning. Hi. I'm currently a teacher in Duval, and one way they could start by saving money is that this first week, we have 5 days to go in and set up our classrooms with no students. Now, multiply that by many teachers and many administrators. I don't need 5 days to set up my classroom without kids. Just putting it out there. And we already have half days twice a month. We have half days with no kids. They leave from 8. They're there from 8 to 11. So, and as for the four-day work week, I wouldn't mind. Same pay, I'll take it.
Yeah, and I know you would. I wouldn't blame you. I wouldn't blame you for taking it. But David, let me ask you something real quick. As a teacher, this conversation is starting to come up in the news. I don't think it's a top issue around the water cooler around break time. But what do you think? Do you think that, we've talked about year-round school. There's been mixed results. Some have even said on that, lengthening or shortening even the hours that children attend a public school. What do you think about a four-day school week? What's your opinion on that?
That'd be good, but see, I'm going to, the main thing about the four-day week is it's the hour-and-a-half blocks that nobody talks about. They have these kids sitting down for hour and a half social studies lesson.
Ah.
You can't engage adults for hour and a half unless you're very, you know, charismatic and stuff like that. So they have hour and a half math blocks. They have hour and a half
wow.
social studies blocks. You need to start by cutting those blocks, I believe.
All right. That's it was good to talk. I appreciate the call, man. We take some more calls at 222-TALK. An hour and a half cultural studies? Give me a break.
My concern, again, you know, would be, you know, that one day a week where there's no mom, no dad, no teachers watching him. Will we see the teen pregnancy rate skyrocket?
Will we see juvenile crime grow up? So you're telling me that we're not here to teach, we're here to babysit.
That's one of the benefits of having an adult in the room, to be frank with you, is to make sure that the kids, because they say already that's when a lot of the problems with kids happen between 3 o'clock and 5 before mom and dad get home.
Would you think the same thing would happen to private school students?
Yeah, uh-huh. Absolutely. They need, in some cases, and now if I were a student in the 11th grade, hey, give me a four-day school week all day long.
Roger,
I promise you I won't get in trouble, but I know every kid's not like me.
I went to public school, and then I went to private school.
Uh-huh.
The day off from school, I was watching sports.
Right.
I was fishing. I'm golfing. I'm not... No, just to be honest with you, it's not to Luke to get in trouble with females.
So were you, so was I. And
right.
And most students probably would fall into that category, but I think that there would be some who unsupervised one day a week.
That could be any day.
That would be, well, if their mom or dad are not around, that's when the kids get
Listen,
in trouble.
I've known kids who've gone to church to get in trouble after a teen rally at night when they didn't show hope. So, I mean, we can make excuses for a lot of these things.
Okay.
Love to hear what you think at 222 Talk 222-8255. More coming up next right here on your calls coming up next on Talk Radio WBOB.
On I-10 going east started at Hammond Boulevard. We're looking at some backup. An accident actually took place there just west of the 295 exit, and then 10 east at Cassett. They're slowed down going down to Stockton. Traffic this morning being brought to you by Snyder Heating and Air Conditioning.
This is Bill Martin with God First Ministries. God has set before you many choices in life. Joshua 24:15 says, "Choose for yourselves this day who you will serve." We each make a choice of who and what we will serve. In John 7:15, Jesus said, "If anyone chooses to do God's will." When we choose to do God's will, that choice brings life to us and those around us. In Deuteronomy 30, God says, "I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life." Choose what brings life. God gives you the right to make that choice.
This message has been brought to you by God First Ministries of Jacksonville. For more information, visit their website at godfirstmin.com. That's godfirstmin.com.
Here's Dan Celia with today's Stewardship Moment.
It's amazing to me how many believe that if we save and save, hoard and hoard, that we will someday have riches. I believe God's word is pretty clear that though we may hold back, we may not necessarily see our wealth increase. It's those who scatter and sow that will reap a harvest. Now, some of us may fail in our stewardship because of our hoarding. However, there are a number of people who unfortunately fail because of their spending. But it's the sower of the seed for God-honoring purposes that will bring us riches and true wealth.
You've just heard a Stewardship Moment with Dan Celia of Financial Issues Ministry, helping you plan, give, and invest wisely. For more information, log on to financialissues.org. That's financialissues.org.
August is Mixed Roses Month at Hume Flowers. From now to August 15th, you can get one dozen long-lasting mixed roses for just $69.95 and get another dozen absolutely free. You can choose to put all 24 roses in one container or have them arranged as individual orders. This special sale is for phone orders and local delivery only. It's the buy 12 and get 24 mixed roses sale only at Kuhn Flowers from now till August 15th. Kuhn Flowers, making memories since 1947. Call 398-8601. That's 398-8601.
Partly cloudy today, a high of 92. Partly cloudy this evening, 77 the low. Right now it's 77 here at WBOB.
Laura Ingram, next at 9. Now back to the Ed Dean Radio Show on Talk Radio AM 600 and 101.1 FM. WBOB.
And here are the top stories we're bringing you this morning. Florida Democrats had their debate last night at Jacksonville University, claiming that Florida is on the wrong track. With students ready to go back to school, some school districts are advocating shortening the school week to 4 days. And the NFL preseason kicked off last night, but the NFL says the new policy on punishing players that take a knee during the national anthem will remain on hold.
Contact the Ed Dean Show on AM 600 and 101.1 FM by calling 222-TALK or 222-8255 or email ed@wbob.com.
All right, many of you want to weigh in whether or not we should have 4 days of school instead of a full work week. Instead of a full school week. Give me the pros and cons. I'd love to hear from you at 222-TALK, 222-8255. Connie, good morning. You're on WBOB.
Hey, good morning, Ed.
Hey, good morning.
Just a couple of points. One of them is after the kids have to stay in school for the extended school day, do they have to go home and do homework? And also, what about that, will they start serving dinner for kids, 3 meals a day on the 4-day work week? A lot of districts push the meals for these underprivileged kids that they don't get the breakfast and lunches during summers and stuff?
That's an interesting question. According to the report on the National Conference of State Legislatures, there's going to be a fee. I don't know if it's going to be charged to the parents, but the district will provide daycare on whatever day could be off. But that's an interesting question about the meals and stuff. I mean, we're going to, if the kids want to go out that day, are the school district going to pay for it? But Connie, I wonder, you may have a point, send their homework with them, and that way they still have to maybe apply some school knowledge on that day off.
Right. And there's a lot of extracurricular activity after school gets out. Baseball, football, dancing. There's a lot of stuff. And I just don't think stretching a kid's day to have that one extra day off is going to really be beneficial.
All right. So she says it's kind of like, you know, she has an interesting point, Roger. It's kind of like the argument some of those in the police unions make by, do you really want a cop come knocking on your door who has to work 8 hours or 10 hours?
Yeah, you have a
point. I'm like, I want the cops to work in 8 hours. Of course, then again, if he's near the end of the 10-hour, he's coming to me, and you know, he's on his way home, he might be in a better mood.
Or a doctor, you know?
Yeah. Well, I was mostly caving with the cops, but the doctor. Yeah, that's a good point with the doctors as well.
You want him falling asleep while doing surgery on you?
No, I want to be falling asleep. No, every time I go to a doctor, I always say, did you have a good night? Did you get plenty of rest? Because if not, please, I'll wait next week. Let's go to Jeff. Jeff, good morning. You're on WBOB.
Hey, good morning.
Hey.
My concern is that are we thinking about the kids when we're talking about making this decision? And I think that question has to go back to anything we change, that the kids have to be the focus of it. Lengthening their days I don't think is beneficial, especially for the younger kids. And secondly, with your last person that was talking, you're taking 2 hours away from their evenings that they'd be able to work on homework and giving them more stress in those 4 days than they had every day for the 5 days. So having worked with a son who was challenged by some new curriculum, they need to have the stability, I think. I don't think we need to be doing stuff like this that works against something that's already not working well that we could fix better. I just don't think it's the right way to go.
Okay, so Jeff, you're saying the remainder of 5 days, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, Jeff, I think a lot of people would agree with you. Thank you for the call. I think Jeff says, things aren't going that well now. Maybe some mixed results. Let's see what some of the other people think. At 222-TALK, 222-8255. James, good morning. You're on WBOB.
Yeah. Oh, yes. This is your blind listener that I've called in before. I graduated from a school in Massachusetts in 58 that where you went to school 12 months out of the year. Half of that year, you went to the actual school and you studied your regular classes and everything. The other half, you went out on a work project. Now, my radical idea is if we go to this four-day thing, why not train these high school children that we're talking about in all these different type of jobs that they're talking about they don't have enough people trained in.
Hmm. Yeah, James, kind of an interesting take. I appreciate the call. James is like saying, with all these trades in the high school, you know, where you got companies that will come in and say, hey, we'll help fund it.
Right.
Like whether it's GE or Boeing, we want them to come work for us. We'll pay for that extra hour. And the last caller had a good point. Mm-hmm. Make them focus on a trade.
Right.
If it's not 4 days, you know, let me ask a question. You know, some work weeks, the employer may have a 4-day work week instead of five or a half a day on Friday. Maybe that.
Yeah.
Maybe that might work. So, 222-TALK, 222-8255. The election's underway right now. August 28th is the primary. So we always do, occasionally do some candidate interviews. Here on our Newsmaker line, Mark Ziegler running for House District 15. That's the Jay Fant District. Good morning.
Hey, good morning.
Hey, by the way, tell everybody what the website is.
VoteZiegler.com.
You're in a Republican primary. You're going up against a lawyer, lobbyist. Is he a lobbyist for JEA?
Yes. yes.
Okay, he's another Republican, Wyman Duggan. You know, we've offered him to come on the show, but he won't return our call, so okay, whatever. Why you instead of him?
Well, I'm a small businessman. Wyman likes to call himself a small businessman, but, you know, he's not worried about paying the JEA bill. He doesn't sign the front of the check like I do. And, you know, so it's just a very different contrast between Wyman and myself in terms of, you know, owning a business, taking care of a business, taking care of clients. When you're the owner, you have to do it yourself.
How long have you been in business in Duval County?
So I opened my company in March of 2000.
That's a long time. What kind of company is it?
We are a boat dealers and yacht brokers.
Trump and good for the economy?
Incredible. In fact, when we found out who the two nominees were going to be for the presidential race, our industry just took off like a rocket. And
see, that's interesting you say that, Mark, because I keep telling everybody, there were people that were like, it can't get any worse if Hillary was president. Not that I'm a fan of hers, but Obama was what they say. It just couldn't get any worse. But you're saying that when they found out who the two nominees were, business picked up.
Yeah, and it that was prior to the election, and I'm somewhat of a microcosm of that, because as soon as I found out, you know, what was going to happen in terms of the two nominees, I went ahead and ordered a building.
Oh, and, wow.
Yeah, and I would have never done that if she would have got elected.
How many do you employ as a business owner?
So we have, right now we have about a staff of four.
Okay.
But our firm is big, has been as big as, you know, 11 to 12 people.
Have the Trump tax cuts in the boating industry been a big boom? Is it smaller boats or bigger boats?
It's across the board. It's everything.
Wow.
It's everything. And seeing a lot of people getting into boating that have always wanted to do it but never could over the last 8 years, were real timid, and but now they're in it. I mean, they're calling. It's exciting to see the new blood, if you will, come into the leisure.
Mark Ziegler is running for the House District 15. Jay Fant stepped down, and then he's got a couple of other candidates out there. One of the other ones is Wyman Duggan, who's a lawyer, a lobbyist for JEA. When it comes to the issue, with a few minutes left, what has become a top tier issue that people are talking about in the primary that's not been focused on?
Well, they certainly, you know, people, they certainly talk about guns. They talk about security. They want to see Trump's agenda move forward. A lot of people that I see, you know, pounding the pavement, knocking on doors, they want to see our president have a chance.
Right.
You know, everyone else had a chance, Ed. You know, everybody else had a chance, and I think that Trump needs a chance as well.
All right. Now, tomorrow, one of our big sponsors of this radio show, Rogers, Green Acres. We're big fans of Green Acres.
Yes.
Yeah.
Tell everybody what you got going on Saturday.
So this Saturday from 11 to 1:30, we're having a Meet the Candidate at 8774 Normandy Boulevard.
Just look for Green Acres. Yeah. Is it jeans, kind of a cookout, barbecue, shorts?
Yeah. Yes. Come as you are. Tremendous Barbecue is doing the barbecue for us, and Green Acres has gracious enough to be our host. And we'll have a big tent there, and we're hoping a lot of people come. We've sent out several hundreds of invitations, so we're excited to get to meet the folks. And one of the things, you know, we'll get to do is, of course, I'll get to speak. But the big thing that I want to do is I want to talk to the people. You know, I love hearing everyone else's stories.
Right.
And through that process, I get to know you and you get to know me. And, you know, our district is special. You know, it encompasses a lot of different types of people and a vast piece of land. And it has all different needs. And I feel like I'm the candidate that understands, you know, both sides of the coin. Having struggled through the economy of 8 years and keeping myself afloat.
I'm with you. I just want to know the difference between the two. I think that's what everybody else wants to know. I know we're going to have you back on to talk more about this. But, hey, by the way, just a little FYI, as a Republican, never use the word big tent. I'm just kidding. I know what you mean by that. VoteZiegler.com is the website. Mark Ziegler tomorrow going to be at Green Acres Big Barbecue. Open for everybody, he says, from 11 to 1:30 at Green Acres, one of our big sponsors. Mark, good to have you on this morning.
Thank you so much. We'll see you tomorrow.
All right. Tomorrow, 11 to 1:30 out there. Barbecue Green Acres. I'm going to probably show up.
Okay.
Because it's free food. Anyway, more as we continue to move along, your calls at 222-TALK, 222-8255, TALK Radio, WBOB.
I-10 going east at Hammond Boulevard. There's been a crash in 295 North in Wilson. Something fell off of a car. You'll need to avoid that.
This traffic report is brought to you by J. David Tax Law. When you owe the IRS and can't pay, go to jdavidtaxlaw.com. Peace of mind is only a click or phone call away.
I'm Clayton Bromberg, the president of Underwoods. You've heard me talk about the Rolex my grandfather gave me for graduating from college, but there's something else you need to know about Rolex watches from an official Rolex jeweler for over 60 years. If you own a Rolex, probably today more than ever before, if you need that Rolex serviced, you should only visit an official Rolex jeweler. In North Florida, there are four, with Underwood's three stores, and Mayer's has one. Anybody else claiming to work on Rolex has no direct access to parts, and the use of non-authentic Rolex parts jeopardizes your Rolex from both an authenticity and a value standpoint. At Underwood's, we have state-of-the-art Rolex repair shops, both designed and outfitted by Rolex and staffed by Rolex watch technicians trained by Rolex. And best of all, our shop is on premise, so your Rolex will never leave Jacksonville, and our Rolex repairs carry a 2-year warranty. At Underwood's in San Marco, Avondale, and the shops upon Avedra.
It's been proven time and time again. The best way to keep your family healthy is to eat all natural foods. Grassroots Natural Market in Fleming Island is your best choice for additive-free meats, fruits, and vegetables. And best of all, their prices are competitive with the big box stores. Grassroots in Fleming Island also sells the top brands of vitamins and supplements. Grassroots Natural Foods in Fleming Island. Fresh food, fast checkout, and friendly people. Located by the theater at 1915 East West Parkway. Online at grassrootsnaturalfoods.com.
Leave the summertime cooking to the Original Tunis Restaurant, 7400 103rd Street, just west of 295. Dine in, drive through, or use Uber Eats. The Original Kronos Gyros, shrimp, fish, oysters, wings, and more. The Original Tunis can cater any occasion. 317-9300. And talk with Z, the owner and founder. Ask him how your church or civic group can use the Original Tunis Restaurant for your next fundraiser. The Original Tunis Restaurant, 7400 103rd Street, open 7 days a week. Come meet Z, the founder.
Partly cloudy today and warm, only a slight chance of rain, 92 the high, partly cloudy this evening, 77 the low, and currently it is 77 here at WBOB.
To contact Ed Dean at AM 600 and 101.1 FM, call 222-TALK, 222-8255, or email Ed at WBOB.com.
Coming up next, the NRA totally getting thrown under the bus by Democrats running for governor. Even some, we're going to play the clip here in a moment, suggest we need a bullet tax to pay for education. More of this coming up next. Talk Radio WBOB.
Talk Radio AM 600, 101.1 FM, WBOB.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. A federal judge has halted a deportation in progress, ordering a mother and daughter in the U.S. illegally from El Salvador to be brought back to the U.S. until their case can be adjudicated in court. Desperate struggle in California. Firefighting crews continue battling more than a dozen massive wildfires raging across the state. Orange and Riverside counties under states of emergency as the massive Holy wildfire rages south of Los Angeles. That blaze has charred almost 10,000 acres. The Trump administration moving ahead with a plan to establish a U.S. Space Command. On Wall Street this morning, stock futures suggest a sharply lower open later on. Right now, Dow futures down about 105 points. NASDAQ futures off 40. S&P futures down 13. More details at srnnews.com.
On I-10 going east at Hammond Boulevard, there has been a crash, and it's now on the right side of the highway, causing a little bit of backup. 295 North at Wilson Boulevard, something apparently fell off of a truck. You'll need to avoid that if you're headed that way. Partly cloudy today and a high of 92. It will be partly cloudy this evening with a low of 77, and right now it is 77 here at WBOB. And here are the top stories we're bringing you this morning. With students ready to go back to school, some school districts are advocating shortening the school week to 4 days. The NFL preseason kicked off last night, but the NFL says its new policy on punishing players that take a knee during the national anthem will remain on hold. And Florida Democrats had their debate last night at Jacksonville University, claiming that Florida is on the wrong track.
To contact Ed Dean at AM 600 and 101.1 FM, call 222-TALK, 222-8255, or email ed@wbob.com.
More as we continue to move along. Ed Dean here, along with Roger Henderson. Thursday night, Jacksonville University, the Public Policy Institute, Kent Justice, as you know, news4jax.com, moderated the debate Wednesday evening. Then he had to do it again on Thursday evening. He asked a bunch of, he actually got, I know where he got his questions. He got it from this morning, from this radio show, okay? I mean, we all know that, right? So anyways, come on, we're having fun here. But anyway, he's going to join us here in a little bit, but he asked some great questions. One of the questions he kept asking was, okay, all of you keep talking about education, Medicaid expansion. Where are you going to get the money? Well, they say that they're not going to raise taxes, but they do want to raise taxes in certain areas. But they can't tell you where they're going to get taxes from. They can't tell you, but we're going to prioritize our spending. Well, where are you going to tell me what areas you're going to move money around? They couldn't even do that. Kent did a good job asking the questions. Andrew Gilliam, who is known as the most progressive one of all of this, he says, hey, I like being called the most progressive candidate and being endorsed by Bernie Sanders.
Just to graduate from college, I am on this stage as the most progressive candidate running for governor, as the only non-millionaire, non-billionaire running, Bernie Sanders.
Okay, so he brags about being the most progressive candidate. Okay, he brags about having that label. So Kent Justice was asking him, because this has been a conversation that, okay, Bernie Sanders has called you, labeled you the most progressive guy in this race. He's endorsed you. And he says, we hear all this conversation because Sanders is a socialist, Democrat, independent. How do you classify yourself?
Yeah, running. Bernie Sanders has endorsed you. He's called you the best person to carry the progressive label forward in Florida. He calls himself an independent and a Democrat socialist. So you've called yourself the most progressive in the race. You did that just a moment ago. What is the difference between a Democrat socialist and a socialist and a Democrat?
Now, remember, he just said a moment ago, not Kent, but Andrew Gilliam, one of the candidates who, by the way, won on the poll for News 4 Jax out of Jacksonville, won the poll. Hmm. A lot of people liked Andrew. And he's very far left, which shows you that a lot of the Dems are big-time liberals. And so he goes, he brags about being the most progressive candidate. So Ken asked them a valid question. Okay, well, then how would you label yourself? Listen to what Gilliam says.
Explain it. Well, I can tell you what I believe. I believe that these labels are insignificant when it comes to the everyday lives of people in this state. And so I realize that these labels are easy to throw on folks. But when you're struggling, when you want to make sure that you can work one job instead of multiple jobs as a way to make ends meet, these labels mean nothing.
Yeah, but what you just labeled yourself a few moments ago.
The label he gave himself was progressive.
That's
right.
And
when it comes to catchphrases and terms that people will accept or be completely turned off, I think he realizes progressive is acceptable in Florida, especially if he wins the primary and has to go against whoever the Republican
progressive is acceptable in the Democrat Party. But what I'm saying is he labels himself, but he says, I don't want to be labeled.
But socialist is not. I think he's trying to avoid being labeled socialist.
He got endorsed by a socialist.
That's true.
So you tell me, what's the difference between a progressive and a socialist?
Probably.
When you look at their views.
Probably not a whole lot. But, you know, we're coming out of the Cold War, communism, socialism. There tends to be sometimes a confusion between the two. I don't think he wanted to have that label, especially coming out of his own mouth.
So Chris King, who's out of Orlando, he's a big wealthy millionaire, runs a business, was asked the question about the issue of guns. And this is what he said.
Income tax, and I wouldn't want to change that. And I have suggested that I am not a tax and spend liberal. I'm trying to demonstrate how I pay for everything I'm talking about.
So he was asked about, how do you plan to fund school education? And he says what we need is a bullet tax. And he says because the NRA has been flooding the state with guns and ammunition.
And what Latasha told me when I met her is what parents across the state tell me, that they are terrified, but they're also tired. They're tired of the little politics that does not stand up to the NRA. So I am so proud that it was my candidacy that I presented what has been called the most ambitious idea for gun safety. That's what I call the Every Kid Fund for Gun Violence Prevention, which is a bullet tax to protect children, because the NRA is flooding our state with ammunition and guns, and I believe they bear responsibility.
Really? The NRA is flooding the state? I didn't realize there were a bunch of gun runners.
Yeah, I didn't know either. They're an advocacy group, but he almost implied that the NRA is selling, or at least providing for free, providing the guns and the ammunition to people in Florida, and that's really not accurate.
Yeah, I mean, what if you had a boatload of abortions, and I came out and say, hey, Planned Parenthood's been over-flooding. Planned Parenthood does not perform the abortions. It's a doctor that performs the abortion. You get what I'm saying?
Right, but it doesn't Planned Parenthood fund them, though.
Planned Parenthood probably would in some cases, yes. They say it's not really much there, but they get federal money. But yet what I'm saying is that it's the individual. If the individual makes a mistake, do you blame Planned Parenthood? Or if somebody uses a gun that may not even be a member of the NRA, we're always blaming the NRA.
Yeah.
I'm not sticking for Planned Parenthood by all means. I'm just saying that would you ever blame, I'm just asking the question, would the liberals blame Planned Parenthood if abortions were up?
And most of these high profile shootings we hear about were not committed by NRA members.
Not at all. But here's the thing. So again, the NRA is flooding the state with guns and ammunition, and he says in order to fund education and some of these school safety, we need to have a bullet tax. Really? I mean, what's the point? Let me ask this question. If you really wanted to fund school safety, let's say, Roger, hypothetical, you need $100 million.
Okay.
He says, well, it's only going to fund about $30 to $40 million. Well, then what is the tax on ammunition? Some liberals have advocated a 50% tax on ammunition. If you need to all these elected officials, whether you're Democrat, Republican, nonpartisan, for education, whatever, you guys keep telling me you need money. Just give me the bottom line of how much you need. That's the question. Just tell me so we can fund it all together. Stop incrementally attacking taxpayers' back pocket. I'm just asking a question. Tell me how much you need on that issue. So Rick Mullaney from the Jacksonville Public Policy Institute, he kind of had a follow-up. You'll like this one, Roger. He says, it became a little challenging to the Democrat candidates because Kent did a lot of follow-up questions.
Each one of them was articulate. I think this format's a bit challenging for them because you do the follow-up questions.
Yeah, I guess because they don't get a lot of follow-up questions from some of their friends, some of the media out there. The question about paying for the border wall. I know that Roger of this radio show and many of you have kind of thrown out some ideas of funding a border wall and to build it. American Newsroom Sandra Smith
came to help him get it done, introducing a bill that would take foreign aid from countries whose citizens come here illegally and put those funds toward the border wall. So this new bill, it aims to fund, build, and pay for the border wall. First of all, how do you fund this?
Well, Andrew Biggs, who is a congressman from Arizona, he says there are three ways, and see if this makes sense, three ways of funding the border wall.
Well, there's three components in the bill, and the smallest one is the reduction in foreign aid to nations whose citizens keep coming to our country illegally. That's about in the bill is $2,000 a head. But we also increase the I-94 fee, and that's the entrance fee to come to the U.S., which is $6 today. And we have that would be a significant component. And then the third thing is to impose a tax on the remittance payments that are going abroad. Like, for instance, to Mexico, they'll receive $25 to $30 billion this year alone in remittance payments right out of our economy going back home, and we don't impose any fee on that. This would impose a fee. This would raise, this bill could raise anywhere from $2 to $3 billion a year to pay for this wall.
Well, I guess you could say Mexico and other countries, because a lot of the illegal immigration comes through Mexico, but it does come from a lot of it south of Mexico. We go after the foreign aid. We have a result of reducing that. That would save money, saying like, hey, Roger, let's work something out. I know I owe you some money, or you owe me. Maybe you just reduce next week's cost. We'll even it out. That's
exactly
what some are saying.
Uh-huh.
Also, people paying as they come in, maybe guest worker visa program. We charge them some money. Also, remittance money being sent back across the border.
Right.
Is that can it fund it all?
You know what? I'm thinking is something needs to happen, or it's going to look like Trump's not keeping his pledge promise that Mexico would end up paying for it. And I think a big thing that people aren't talking about is putting on a tax and money being wired or transferred to people in Mexico from the United States.
Almost like a little bit of an export tax.
Exactly.
Wouldn't you? Maybe we could fund the tariffs. Guys, I still tell you, we could make this a tourist attraction. Have people go to the south of the border from Brownsville to San Diego, feed them, watch them, cater them, and watch people trying to cross in this country illegally and watch ICE and Border Patrol agents try to catch them and send them back. I'm telling you, it would be a tourist attraction.
Well, maybe.
You know,
maybe not.
You know, it'd be like watching that Jurassic Park movie. You know,
But in all seriousness, if people are crossing the border and illegal in such large numbers, why don't we do a major PSA campaign in places like Mexico and in Central America? If they really are fleeing persecution, or they want to have a guest worker program, guide them to these places. Advertise there where they need to go so they can come into the country legally.
More as we continue to move along. All right, take some phone calls, 222-TALK, 222-8255. How many of you all, whether you're a Democrat or Republican, did you watch the debate? We've been playing the clips from the left. There's nothing new with what a bullet tax. Is that the new fresh idea from the Democrats? Let's go to James. James, good morning. You're on WBOB.
Yeah, good morning, guys. My prediction for President Trump being elected in 2020 is going to be twofold. As soon as he gets the tariff agenda straightened out, and it actually is going to work, I think, in the end, if he gets the tariff agenda straightened out, and if the economy, I predict that the economy is going to be at a sustained, probably 4.5 to 5% GDP. When that happens, and then a second issue is going to be that if he starts to negotiate with the new Mexican president who was just elected, that border wall will be built, and that new Mexican president will have something to do with it. I guarantee it.
All right, he's very optimistic. Republicans are going to do well. Conventional wisdom, and when you look at this surge, some would say they're probably not convinced. There's a difference between what we saw this past week with the special election in Ohio. Special elections all around, than what happens in a general election is night and day. Ron, good morning. You're on WBOB.
Morning, Ed. So two things about the debate. So the first thing is that I thought that all of the candidates did a great job. I thought they were all infinitely better than both Putnam and DeSantis. And I'll answer any question you have for me on that. But first, I want to ask a favor from you. I want you, if you're going to have Mr. Justice on later this morning, I want you to ask him a question.
All right, I'm writing it down.
Because he asked Ms. Graham a question last night that I thought was completely uncalled for and is just symptomatic of why we have a Me Too movement in this country right now. He asked Ms. Graham, I don't know if you remember this or saw this, he asked Ms. Graham, he pointed out that she often refers to herself in her background as a PTA mom, which is just a normal thing every politician does to try to relate to people. I'm a mother. I'm a father. But he asked her, and her alone, as far as I know, how that's relevant to her candidacy. He said you would be in charge of a $90 billion budget, which he reminded her is a lot of money, as if any sane or rational person needs to be reminded that $90 billion is a lot of money. I thought that was completely uncalled for. I thought it was inappropriate. He didn't ask Mr. DeSantis, who, as far as I'm concerned, Mr. DeSantis has done more to put his affection for Trump and his fathering parenting skills out there as a reason for being elected, more so than any other candidate. He didn't ask Mr. DeSantis how his affection for Trump or his parenting skills are relevant to his candidacy. And so I thought that was a very inappropriate question. I would like you to ask him to apologize for that. But with that said, I thought all the Democratic candidates did a great job. I thought their answers were thoughtful. I thought they tried to answer the question.
Let me ask you a question. I'll ask Kent that question. If you had to look at the one that could win, is more viable, who would the candidate be on the Dem side?
My two. Well, so I liked Levine. I liked Graham. I liked Dillum. I liked King. I liked all of them. I think I like Gwen Graham the best. I think she's the best fit for the state on a whole.
I think she's the one Republicans need to be a little bit more careful with. I think she could, she's a moderate in some cases.
I think she's a good fit for the state. I mean, every politician has to fit there. You have to have a Big Ten if you want to be a successful party on both a local, national, and statewide scale. People get upset about Ocasio-Cortez, but she's a perfect fit for her district.
You know, there's a guy running in West Virginia who's, you know, he's like, you know, I don't think that the players should kneel for the protest, but are in NFL games. But he's a Democrat, and he's probably a better fit for that district than someone who would say, yeah, let him kneel right. and do all that other stuff.
I'll so ask. I'll
I
ask Ken.
I just
I'll
like
ask him that question.
As a fit.
All right, I appreciate the call. Now, Ron said something, you know, he's a Democrat. We probably wouldn't agree on a lot. I do agree with him right there. You heard what he said. She's probably the best fit for the state of Florida.
Hmm.
The best fit would be a little bit more moderate.
Okay.
So I would agree with him on that.
And I'm of the opinion the more in the center you are, all things equal, the better chance you have in the general
right.
election.
We're going to play the clip that he's referring to with Ken Justice, with Gwen Graham, the Me Too Uncalled For. We'll play that coming up next on Talk Radio WBOB.
If you're on I-10 going east at Hammond Boulevard, there has been an accident. It's on the right side of the highway. And another crash, I-10 east near Stockton, could slow things down for you.
Download WBOB's mobile app for free from your app store. Powered by Duval County Judicial Candidate Kimberly Sadler.
When our health insurance renewal notice arrived last fall, my wife and I made the decision to drop our plan. With the monthly premiums and deductible, we'd have to pay $30,000 just to use it. So we did our homework and switched to MediShare. The cost savings are incredible, over $500 a month. And we don't have to pay for services we don't need or don't agree with. Then, out of the blue, she had to have emergency surgery. Scary stuff. $150,000 in hospital bills. And MediShare members took care of everything. All we paid was our small portion. I'm a doctor who's been in healthcare for 20 years, and this is one of the most impressive programs I've ever seen. Thank God she's fully recovered. And now we're telling everyone about MediShare.
Call 877-64-BIBLE to find out how much you can save on your healthcare. MediShare. Call 877-64-BIBLE. That's 877-64-BIBLE.
One size fits all. That may be all right for adjustable belt or cheap sunglasses, but when it comes to your financial needs, no one wants a one size fits all strategy. Hi, I'm Matt Velez, your Jacksonville, Florida, Edward Jones Financial Advisor. My most important goals are yours. That's why I take the time to understand your needs so I can recommend personalized strategies with your goals in mind. Contact me today at 904-595-5955.
Here, Matt Velez with a stock market update weekdays at 5:30 on WBOB. Are you having issues with your roof? Hi, A.J. Davis here. After a strong storm last summer, I noticed the shingles on my roof were no longer on the roof, so I contacted my friend John about SNC Square Contracting, asked him about his experience. He said, go for it. They put on a new roof, and after two hurricanes and several summer storms, all the shingles are where they should be, no leaks. So protect your home. Call SNC Square LLC, Roofing with Integrity, at 524-8621. That's 524-8621.
Partly cloudy today, only a slight chance of rain, a high of 92. Partly cloudy this evening, even a less chance of rain, and a low of 77. Right now it's 78 here at WBOB.
Laura Ingram next at 9. Dennis Prager at noon on Talk Radio, AM 600 and 101.1 FM, WBOB.
And here are the top stories we're bringing you this morning. The NFL preseason got kicked off last night, but the NFL says its new policy on punishing players that take a knee during the national anthem will remain on hold. Florida Democrats had their debate last night at the Jacksonville University, claiming that Florida is on the wrong track. And with students ready to go back to school, some school districts are advocating shortening the school week to 4 days.
To contact Ed Dean at AM 600 and 101.1 FM, call 222-TALK, 222-8255, or email ed at wbob.com.
So we just had a Democrat call up. Says that, and he says that you should, it was uncalled for. I'm going to play the clip for you, what the Democrat's referring to, whether Ken Justice was out of line? I don't know. I'm going to play the clip. You be the judge that he owes Gwen Graham an apology. This is part of the Me Too movement. I don't know about that, but we'll let the clip play for itself. This is what Gwen Graham had said when he asked about business experience, because they're all throwing Trump under the bus for the, quote, business experience. She says, hey, well, she's the one who says, well, I was a PTA mom, and then Ken Justice follows up and says, well, is that enough to be qualified to run a big budget? Here's clip number 5.
So let's start here. Three people in the race argue that they have substantial success in business. maybe is that a disadvantage? You don't have the business background that they say is so key as you run for governor.
What I bring to this is a varied background, both personally and professionally. I'm a mom, former PTA president, public school official, and I represented Florida in Congress. My experiences make me uniquely qualified, and I am looking forward to being in a governor that wakes up every single day working for the people of
Florida.
All
right, here it comes.
So some of the comments have been, hey, when you mention the PTA mom and what have you, the debate July 18th and many other times since you've characterized yourself like that, they want to know, why is that relevant when it comes to running a state with a budget of almost $90 billion? It's a lot.
You know, Kent, some people think the PTA president was my toughest job ever. Any PTA moms in the audience? Absolutely. So my experience is working with people is what will allow me to...
Okay, so was that a Me Too movement question?
What? Apology? What did he do wrong?
Listen, I don't care if Ron DeSantis or Adam Putnam came out and says, well, I ran the local Tea Party group or I ran the Citizens for Concerned Activity. Does that make you qualified to run a big budget? No, I don't see where the point is here.
Right.
By the way, we need more PTA moms. I'm the first one that, and I think that does benefit her, Gwen Graham. But how is that to, I mean, if you're going to throw Trump under the bus, with no business, only had business experience, they're saying that she hasn't had any business experience. By the way, that's coming from her opponents.
And therefore needs an apology? I don't get, what he said that was so offensive.
Ed at WBOB.com. Ed at WBOB.com. Is that part of the I'm just saying that's part of the Me Too movement?
I thought that the Me Too movement had to do with sexual harassment of women. That wasn't anything sexual.
He just
wanted to know whether or not she had business experience to run a big budget.
222-TALK, 222-8255. The latest ad by the Republican Party. If the Democrats had one, I'd play this. But this is about mocking Democrats for not winning, for the most part, any of these special elections. Remember, they were supposed to win this past week in Ohio. The Democrats say that, no, well, really, Roger and Ed, this is a moral victory. But even those on CNN, MSNBC say, well, a moral victory doesn't put you in Congress.
Close in Ohio 12, but no cigar, at least not yet.
This is a moral victory for the Democrats. The fact that they're this close is a moral victory for the Democrats. Right. You want a real victory.
We got some mojo, all right? So I don't know if it's a moral victory or whatever.
Moral victory. Moral victory.
Moral victory.
Moral victory does not get you an office in Washington.
Moral victory isn't going to cast a vote here in Washington.
Come November, you need more than moral victories. You're going to need to get better than close in some of these races, correct?
You said this morning there are no silver medals in politics.
That's it. Second place gets you oblivion, not a silver medal.
Moral victories do not a House majority make. They've got to get across the finish line of these districts in November.
Either winning seats or you're not. A win is a win.
A win's a win.
It don't matter if you win by an inch or a mile. Winning's winning.
All right. Let's take some more calls. Let's go to Nicole. Nicole, good morning here on WBOB.
Good morning. I just wanted to call in because I heard the guy call in and talk about it. I didn't hear the direct quote, obviously, until you played it. But I am a female that has been questioned because I'm kind of a bossy female my whole life. I've been like a manager at 21 of a hotel type thing. And that is the kind of comment that I would have taken as belittling. I could see what the guy is talking about. Because basically he's like, oh, honey, how does the PTA have anything to do with anything? When, like she said, PTA is a very difficult thing to run if you're doing it for a decent-sized school and you're doing it well. So I see that what he's trying to do with the Me Too movement, he's just saying that it's the same element. It's not saying that it was a sexual thing. He's just saying women have been consistently underestimated or taken advantage of or da-da-da-da. And that is a similar line, but it's not the same concept. So,
okay. All right. Well,
I just want to give my two cents.
No, I'm glad you did. And by the way, I like bossy females because they're independent. You know what that means? That means they get things done.
It's cute at first.
What's that?
It's cute at first.
What, bossy? This is what she said. Let me tell you something. When you look at a lot of successful campaigns and things like that, you notice they're always hiring females because females get things done. I'm not saying it to placate to her, but was that part of the Me Too movement? I don't know. But I want to hear more from you coming up next on Talk Radio WBOB.
I-10 East at Hammond Boulevard, a crash. I-10 East at Stockton, another accident at 295 North in Monument. We're looking at a broken down car there.
I'm Lou Dobbs. Crocs Footwear closing plants in Mexico and Italy. JCPenney expanding its baby items platform. And long-term mortgage rates down slightly. Those stories next.
The way you get your medicine prescriptions is now changing across America. GoGoMeds.com can deliver your medicine right to your door. Here's all you need to do. Your doctor gives you the prescription. You go online to GoGoMeds.com, put in your information, and make sure to include the promo code MIKE2018 to save $10 off your first prescription. Your meds are then delivered to your home, and you've saved money. It's that easy. No more waiting, no lines, no copay each month, and best of all, no wandering around the store aimlessly waiting for your prescription to be filled. GoGoMeds.com, the new way to get your medicine delivered right to your door. Remember that getting your prescription filled now means never having to go to a store again. GoGoMeds.com. GoGoMeds.com. Use the promo code MIKE2018 to save $10 off your first prescription. That's GoGoMeds.com. Promo code MIKE2018.
Crocs, the Colorado-based footwear company made famous by its oversized comfort shoes, closing foreign plants and replacing its chief financial officer. Crocs also planning to close retail stores as leases expire in favor of online sales. Despite all the changes, Crocs just reported a second quarter profit of more than $30 million. JCPenney is expanding the variety of their baby products. In-store items will now include cribs, high chairs, strollers, and car seats, which in the past were offered only online. Freddie Mac says long-term mortgage interest rates are down slightly from last week's levels, 30-year fixed-rate mortgages averaging 4.59%. Please join me for Lou Dobbs tonight, 7 and 11 Eastern, on the Fox Business Network. This is the Lou Dobbs Financial Report.
Paid for by Kimberly Sadler for Duval County, Judge Group 8.
If you believe that protecting our Constitution is at the heart of our legal system, then you can trust judicial candidate Kimberly Sadler. Accomplished with years of experience fighting for justice and fairness in our courtrooms, Kimberly Sadler has dedicated her legal career to ensuring the law works for all citizens of Jacksonville. As a former division chief in our public defender's office and serving with distinction in private practice, Kimberly Sadler is a uniquely qualified candidate with both private and public service. Experienced in litigating thousands of cases here in Florida's First Coast, Sadler will bring a high level of competence to the bench with the kind of professionalism that's rooted in our values and the Constitution. Proven to be trustworthy, fair, and honorable. Let's vote Kimberly Sadler for Duval County Judge.
Partly cloudy today and warm, a high of 92. Partly cloudy this evening, 77 the low. Right now it's 78 at WBOB.
All right, Ken Justice, some of you have been calling up. He's part of the Me Too movement. What's up with that? We'll have that. We'll ask him that question coming up next. Gwen Graham says, hey, I got experience to run a big budget. I was a PTA. I was a mom, hey, which is great. Is that enough experience? We'll talk about that next. Your phone calls right here on Talk Radio WBOB.